Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rocks here. This episode, tonight's episode, number 1380, so good, so much fun. You guys are going to, we're going to post this without commercials, so this is going to be ad-free tonight. This is a taste of what our VIPs get all the time with every podcast and every episode. So, you know, if you've been curious what that's like, well, there's all kinds of other perks on the different tiers. That's, you know, it's Patreon. That's how they work. But it, you get all the podcasts ad-free, just like tonight's going to be. Hey, also, we are going to start the show and end the show with a couple of tracks. These are From the Void. It's the soundtrack from the motion picture Open. We're talking to the co-writers and director and stars of the movie Open. It's a fantastic, very, very cool, you know, synth pop fantasia. But really, it's a story about couples and a relationship and, you know, that path. But we're going to start out with Aspic. It's track number 4 from View from the Void, the soundtrack, which is available everywhere, you know, on streaming and whatnot. And also Grab Love. We're going to end it with that track as well. So enjoy. Here it is. Check this track out, and then the podcast will start, and listen to the whole thing, because at the end, we're going to play another track. Very, very cool. So, here we go. Enjoy. Commercial free.
Your lyric.
Yeah, so?
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Ross, and this is the big show. You found it, and boy am I excited tonight. All the way from Hardcore Hollywood, we've got a couple fantastic guests. They have a new movie that just premiered last night. Mr. Miles Doliak and Lindsay Ann Williams. Name of the movie is Open. Hey, guys, how are you?
We are well, Jamie. How are you?
I am fantastic. First, I don't don't want to give anything away about this film, but I have to say, and anybody who's read my blog and knows I have a little bit of a place in my heart for 80s synthwave and synthpop, mm-hmm. of course I love this movie, you know? It's fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Oh, my God.
Jamie, I yeah. never would have gathered that based on your social media activity.
I know. It's just sad. It's sad. You know, it was so funny. I overheard my wife having a phone conversation with one of her girlfriends the other day. And, I don't know, they were planning a girl's night out or something. And my wife's like, absolutely not. We're not going to an 80s party. I live in the 80s at my house. I can't handle it. No, we have to go somewhere else. So, you know, there I am, ruining the evening. And I'm not even going. Anyway, this is a fantastic film. Now, I primarily am familiar with your guys' work at, in the horror genre. This is kind of a shift for you two. How did that happen?
Well, we keep saying that we're going to take a break. And instead of taking a break, we keep making more movies. But this one came about because after Hurricane Ida, we were evacuated to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We were stuck in basically a one-room building with five dogs and no internet. And we just decided to get back to our roots a little bit more, not necessarily telling a horror story. Our first film is a chamber drama, and it's very character-driven. And so we wanted to kind of get closer to that, but then with this wild twist.
Yeah, some of the movies that, you know, have really inspired me as a director are relationship dramas. I love the Before trilogy of Richard Linklater. Noah Baumbach's Marriage Story hit really hard. And like Lynn says, that's where we started. We started in character drama with The Historian many moons ago. And we decided to sort of return to that landscape, and then we got this crazy idea to populate the landscape with an 80s music video fantasia.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Now, when I sat down to watch this, I went in kind of blind. I mean, I get the little write-up, you know, the little note thing, but it really didn't tell me enough to sink my teeth into. So I sat down. And I got to say, the film looked amazing. I got this big TV I acquired. One of my neighbors upgraded from an 80-inch television, and I got the 80-inch for free.
Okay.
It was amazing. Yeah, I was very happy about that. But your film looked fantastic on it. You know, I put it up there, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Not that it won't look good on a phone, but folks, see it big if you can. That's all I'm saying, you know. So cool. But I started watching this, and I got to tell you guys, now I know a lot of people, and I know a lot of weirdo, artsy-fartsy people. And I would say out of several hundred couples I have known over my, I'm an old man, that have tried to go down the path that the characters in this movie went down. Maybe one or two, it works out, you know. And that could be a testament to the non-evolved people that I know, you know. But, yeah, I started watching this. I'm like, oh, that ain't going to end well. No. And it kind of did, though, in a weird way. I don't want to give anything away. But, yeah, what a story.
Yes.
What a story.
Well, yes, I guess it sort of does end well in a very weird, bizarre, circuitous way of speaking. I mean, it doesn't.
Well, yeah.
But, I think, Jamie, anybody who's ever been in a long-term relationship, I know that goes for you and a lot of your listeners. You know, at some point, you're looking at the person lying next to you in bed and you're going, am I really going to wake up next to this person every day for the rest of my life? And you start quibbling over the little things, the laundry and the way the dishwasher exploded and all of these really mundane, banal kinds of things. And you go, oh, my God, how did we get here? Why are we even together in the first place? You know, and those may be fleeting thoughts. They are very real thoughts for anybody who's been in a long-term relationship. It's not whether the relationship is going to get stale or boring, or you're going to feel at times like you're kind of walking backwards or talking past each other, or the romance is gone or the mystery's gone. At some point, if you stay with somebody long enough, you're going to have those feelings.
Yeah, all relationships ebb and flow. It's totally natural.
So what do you do about that? What do you do about that if you don't want to just blow the thing up? I'm not necessarily suggesting that non-monogamy is the answer, but it is at least a path that some choose to go down. The Corbins do it pretty badly in our movie.
We had good rules.
Yeah. But basically, it was something we hadn't seen. I mean, we hadn't really seen that element, this notion of open marriage explored in any kind of substantive way. And so that was sort of our gateway into the story.
Absolutely. The typical story is the couple, well, let's go find a good-looking gal and bring her home and into this. And at least that's all the people I know try to go that route. This, I mean, I got to tell you, Miles, I don't know if your character handled this much better. Again, I'm not evolved. I'm owning that. You know what I mean? I'm just not that. I'm not that guy. But, you know, my wife knows that already. You know, I mean, it's weird, though. But I have known a lot of people that have went that route, you know, and it's, the stories I could tell. And not always, though. Not always. I'm thinking of a couple I know. I don't want to mention anybody, but I was thinking of a couple I know right now that have a big place in a Midwestern state. I'll put it that way. It could be anybody. And they've had that success with that for like 20 years. It's amazing. They are evolved.
Yeah. It works for some people, but most people are not, I think, emotionally evolved enough to handle it. And clearly the Corbins in our film have a problem with ethical non-monogamy.
Oh, it's crazy. And you guys are in this world so much more than I am. I am not, I mean, I'm in entertainment, I guess, and I know a lot of people, but, you know, Eric's character, the character of Eric.
Yeah.
I know that guy, you know, that was big back in the day and is kind of having a rough time with it. I mean, I know several of those people. I'm sure you guys do as well. And without mentioning any names, was anybody in particular when you two sat down and wrote this in your mind? I mean, for that.
Well, we wrote this. We wrote this with Jeremy London in mind. Before we wrote Eric's first line of dialogue, we had Jeremy in mind. Jeremy has been a friend of ours for several years now. He's been in two of our previous films, and there is admittedly a little a meta thing going on here. Jeremy actually in one of his interviews last night said that, you know, Eric is sort of the Mr. Hyde version of Jeremy London, or something to that effect. And you know, Jeremy, when he was younger, was a huge thing. He was in the Kevin Smith sphere. He was on a very popular television show. A couple of them, and we play off of that in this movie. Jeremy has this show that he was famous for, or Eric, rather, has this show called Family Is Not What You Think that he was famous for back in the day. And he finds himself in a place where his star is dimmed and nobody cares anymore, and he can't get a gig, and he's asking himself, you know, where it all went wrong. And, you know, that is unfortunately an all too familiar story in Hollywood. And
absolutely.
Fortunately, Jeremy London is still a quality human being. And Eric LaRue happens to go in a bit of the other direction. I guess that's a mild spoiler, but that's okay.
I think you know, it's in the trailer, so I think, you know,
yeah,
in the
there
lineup.
You go.
You know, it's such a great, and William Forsythe, you got William Forsythe. That was cool to see. I don't know how I overlooked that in the write-up, because that surprised me. I'm watching it. I'm talking about the police captain here. I'm like, hey, I know him. That's cool. Did you know him, or did you go through a casting company, or how did that come about?
So Will was actually in our second film, The Hollow. So we do have a pretty relationship with him, and we've been trying to find something that we could put him in ever since, because we just loved working with him. He's such a great guy. And so we had this opportunity, and he's available, and it just kind of came together perfectly.
Yeah, the thing about Will Forsythe plays menace. You know, he can be incredibly imposing. Humor equally well. He's an incredibly gifted comic actor. And we needed some of those comic chops in this movie, while at the same time, he's this, you know, imposing police captain type. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Kind of cowboy-esque. So, yeah, you know. I could see him on a ranch. You know? Say again, Lindsay.
I'm sorry, James. Oh, I just said, we also needed that softer side, because his relationship with Emma is so important to kind of understand what's going on there between them, and how he does have a soft spot for his daughter and will do anything for her. And that's where some of the humor in his character comes from, is their interactions. And Will and Elena Sanchez just hit it off almost immediately. So their chemistry is great on screen.
She was fantastic. She was so good in this. Everybody was. I love the guy. I don't know. I can't remember his name, the actor's name, but the agent character.
Oh.
I know that guy, too.
Yeah,
know.
He's great.
Not
he's
that actor, but that character.
yeah, exactly. That's a film that that actor has been in of ours. He was most recently in our film Demigod. Pulling him in and just kind of let him go crazy and you know, go wild with all of that, you know, Hollywood baloney was really, really fun.
One of the lines in the movie,
Jamie, as you could tell, sorry, Jamie.
Go ahead,
Jamie.
I was just saying, after you.
We are... we're creatures of habit. When we find actors that we click with, we feel a certain chemistry, and we keep going back to that well, whether it's Johans or Will or Elena, Jeremy. You know, they've all been in previous films of ours, and I'm fairly certain they'll be in future films of ours as well.
All great directors are like that, you know? I mean, we've all seen a Tim Burton movie that's got everybody in it. You know who's going to be in it as soon as you see Tim Burton. And, you know, I'm not saying that Miles is like that, but I was surprised at the film. Not that it was so good. I was just surprised at the direction. It wasn't, it was so much, not that the other movies aren't fun. Man, I'm digging myself a hole here. Your movies are always great, you know? And I liked the character of Robert, Miles. You played that so well. And I know it was a stretch, you know, being a professor and whatnot and all of that. But you did it well. You know, you were pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I have a great deal of practice in the professorial realm.
Nothing wrong with that. I know I wanted to also, the music in this, so funny and so good and so well done. We're going to, when we do the podcast, we're going to include a couple of tracks from the film in it. And it was just, did you guys write all this, or did you bring in some professional songwriter? I mean, because this was really well done.
So a combination of the two. While we were writing the script, we wrote all of the lyrics and came up with most of the melodies while writing it. And then we talked to our composer, who is also one of Miles' oldest friends, Clifton Hyde, about, you know, doing the arrangements and finishing everything. And then we also brought in a friend that we met through Clifton, Oliver Hoffer, who is an amazing bass player. And he also kind of came on to help with that finishing and that instrumentation. And so Miles and I banged out some demos on the keyboard at home, and then sent them to them, and we would talk about, you know, what kind of a feel we wanted something to have, and they would come back with the arrangement and the instrumentation, and it was a really collaborative experience. But yeah, the lyrics and the melodies are both Miles's and mine.
Nice. Well, I know you guys are out in Hollywood. You're going to all kinds of parties. You're doing all kinds of stuff. You had the big premiere last night, and I know your dance card's pretty full. I want to thank you both for taking a few minutes, you know, and being on the show, classing the joint up around here. And again, I don't know if either of you ever wake up in the morning and say, "Oh man, I don't want to do it." Well, you got a big fan here in South Florida, and I'm sure a lot of them. And we want you to, because you're both really, really good at what you do, you know, seriously. So
that means a great deal.
Thank you for keeping us entertained.
It means a great deal, sincerely. We appreciate you always bringing us on the show. One of the biggest challenges for independent film producers is making the world aware of their film's existence, and you help us do that. So we are deeply appreciative of you showcasing our work and talking to us and blasting it out there into the interwebs. I do want to say that if you're a fan of these very silly but hopefully cool tunes that are that make up the soundtrack of Open, you can find the soundtrack on all of the usual streaming platforms, Spotify, Pandora, et cetera, by punching Christina's Glam Hallucination Band into the search bar. So awesome. Give us a listen, give us a like, use these songs on your IG or your TikTok, and let's get them circulating.
Absolutely. Well, fantastic. Will you guys go and be fabulous and famous and all of that, and have fun, and I will talk to you guys. When are you guys heading back? Like Monday? You spending the weekend out
Saturday.
Here?
We have a screening tonight here in Hollywood at Arena Cine Lounge. We're starting a week-long run there. Then we're going to pop by AFM tomorrow and then hook up with an old friend in Marina Del Rey, another actor that has been in some of our stuff, about maybe doing something down the line. And then we're headed back on Saturday.
We got to make it home.
Very cool.
Saints home game.
Yeah, Saints home game on Sunday. Got to be in the Superdome.
That's right. And there's 27 dogs at home that all need kisses and treats.
That's
so,
right.
No, I don't
Very
know.
True.
You don't have 27, but 26, I think. No, I'm
five.
Kidding. I'm
Still
kidding. It's
five.
A lot. Still five, but they're big, except one. Anyway, I will.
Correct.
There's
one very tiny one.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta have a tiny dog if you're gonna be a movie star. Anyway, have a great time, safe travels, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Thanks for having us on the show.
Thanks, Jamie.
Absolutely. Have a good time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Well, here you go, folks. How cool is that? How cool is that? Now, this was a short show. I get it. Don't DM me. I was going to say email because I'm an old man, but my wife says, you know, only other old men email you, Jamie. What's wrong with you? Everybody else DMs you, the direct message. Don't message me saying the show was too short. They're busy, man. They're busy. They're doing all these premieres, you know. I was happy to get him just for the time we were able to talk to him. This is a fantastic movie. The film is called Open. We have got links to all of the Open social media, Facebook, X, Instagram. We have a link tree for the soundtrack where you can just click on any of it right there, the IMDb page, all of that. And this is, like I said, really, really good movie. I'm saying it's one of my favorites of the year. And I'm not a normally not a, a musical fan, a fan of musicals, I should say. I know all of my weird artsy theater friends are going, what? How can you say such a thing? It's just not my thing. It's not my jam. I feel the same way about animation. There are, of course, a couple of exceptions to the rule. Open, Rocky Horror maybe is another exception to my musical movie likes. But this is a good one. I'm adding this in there. Open. It's fantastic. It's a really, really good film. And I want you all to see it. I know they're doing some live stuff, and then it'll be out everywhere on streaming. Matter of fact, I should have that in my notes right here, right? It's coming to theaters November 3rd, followed by digital release November 7th. So you got a couple days, and it's going to be everywhere. Everywhere. And I know what you're saying, you know. Well, when should we watch this? Well, you got all the holidays are here, man. Number one, what a great cool gift, Christmas gift for somebody. You know, this is a really cool gift. And the soundtrack would be a good gift, too. And it's everywhere right now. And you can get it. I don't know how you – I'm sure they have something on one of the social medias, or I can find out and I'll post something. But I know that they limited edition vinyl. Now, it dropped October 13th. I don't know if there's any available still. There might be. Don't get mad at me if there's not, because, you know, I don't know. It was one of the questions I forgot to ask. Nothing but professional here. Nothing but professionalism here. Anyway, have a good one, everybody. And like I said, since this was a short show, we're going to push it out everywhere, commercial-free, and no ads on this one. And I like to do that once a month anyway. That's what all of our VIPs over on Patreon, how they get to listen to the podcast and the show and whatnot. It's ad-free over there, all tiers. And you get other stuff, too. Go to my website if you want to find out about all that. Anywho, I'm going to get back to painting. I am... I'm home alone, actually, right now. I got the dog here. I had Mei Ling and, the pets. But, no, my wife's out of town on a little trip with her mom and sister and my niece. So they're having a good time up in Orlando for a couple days. And, I've been watching cool musicals and, eating things that I probably shouldn't. Anyway. Have a good one, everybody. We will see you next week. I've got to get these things done, and that's what I'm going to go do right now. Have a good one, everybody. Check this film out. Again, it's going to be everywhere November 7th. I will be blasting a reminder on all my social media November 7th when that does drop and reminding you all, you know. But I'm sure you can pre-order it or that remind. I mean, you should be able to. I do this all the time. Matter of fact, I rarely even type it in. I just tell... Google or Siri or whatever, Alexa, to, remind me of things. And they do. We live in the future. What can I say? What can I say, everybody? Anyway, check it out, and you'll be sure glad you did. This is a banger. I really, really enjoyed this. And, and now I'm off. I want everybody to have a good time. And be cool, be patient. Don't wind up on a YouTube video, you know? Don't lose your patience and wind up on a YouTube. I find them hilarious to watch, but you don't want to be that person. Be cool. That's all I'm saying. We will talk to you soon. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Sometimes you don't know what's right for you, but try not to be an asshole. The world can be such a fright for you, but you cannot control who you love. You can't make somebody love you too. You don't get to call.
Radio talk show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rock, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.